Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Anger is like fire. You know, it's really great in the winter to keep you warm, but it's not a smart idea to hold on to it very long. Also, you don't want to put it in your back pocket because it could burn you.
Well said. Welcome to the Dear Young Married Couple podcast. Today we are talking about when you flip your lid. So all about anger management today. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26 to be angry and sin not. And that verse has been talked about, you know, for millennia now. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I think anger gets a bad rap in the church. People often feel like, you know, you're sinning if you're angry. But the Bible is very clear that we can be angry.
Yeah, it's important to know that anger is telling us something. Mm-hmm. It's communication. So, and that could come from, it could be saying a lot of different things.
Right.
And that's kind of our job to go in and look and say, okay, where is this coming from? Sometimes we don't know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's very clear. But there are things that we can do about anger because it doesn't have to destroy you. Like we said, you know, you don't want to hold on to it for a long time. We know that anger can really affect your immune system. It can really affect your health, longevity, your blood pressure, all these things.
Yeah.
So it's really important to, I think, have a discussion for a little bit here on, you know, what is anger and what to do about it.
So there's two primary ways that we see anger manifest itself, and they're on two ends of the spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. So on the one end, you have the stuffers, people who just stuff it for days, months, or even years.
Right. And we also know when you stuff it, it actually increases anger inside of you. It doesn't dissipate it. It doesn't make it disappear. It actually causes health problems when you keep it down in there.
Right. And then you have folks on the other end of the spectrum where they're just explosive. The anger, you know, they get triggered. Mm-hmm. Their immediate response is another emotion, which we'll talk about that. And they don't recognize it. And it shifts into anger right away because anger is a secondary emotion. It's not the first emotion that they'll feel, but they think it is. They think that they're just angry and then they explode and they feel kind of out of control. Other people think they're out of control. They might be, you know, trying to control others as a result of their anger. Mm-hmm. And we see this, you know, this kind of both ends of the spectrum going on when we work with clients who are dealing with anger.
Yeah. And by the way, that is pretty often.
Yeah.
I see a lot of anger. I'm not sure how, you know, that people, I don't know if people realize how many people struggle with anger because it is a very common emotion.
Oh yeah.
Our bodies are hardwired to recognize danger and to respond to it. Anger is actually very helpful because it motivates us, right? Yeah. It could push us to action. Mm-hmm. It helps protect our loved ones, right? If someone's coming against them, I can flare up really quick, have a whole bunch of adrenaline going through me and protect the people I love.
Yeah.
But we also see a lot of times in marriage where the object of the anger is either themselves, the person themselves is angry about them or doesn't like them. It's self-loathing. I talked to one client who called it, you know, his implosion. Mm. When he starts imploding about his self-worth and his value, when that takes a hit, he starts imploding and it makes him very angry because he sees things as more hopeless in that moment. And he just kind of goes into a tailspin, and that makes him angry because he's losing control.
So we'll talk more about this on Friday, August 27th, this coming Friday, at Monthly Live Date Night, where we talk about the angry brain. But we want to give you a little bit of brain science, if you'll stick with us here for brain science. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll be able to see a little visual. But if you're listening on podcasts, then we'll try to describe it through audio.
Yes. So I heard Dan Siegel give this great analogy. It's a great visual analogy for us to kind of understand the brain science mm-hmm. behind what's happening when I get angry and and what kind of what to do about it too. So what he said is he said, hold up a fist, but hold up your fist with kind of the knuckles pointing outward with your thumb inside of your fingers.
So the four fingers are kind of folded over your thumb.
Right, right. Okay. So he says, imagine that this is your brain. Kind of looks like one almost, if you kind of hold it up to your head. And you could see the front knuckles are kind of what we're going to call your frontal cortex or your frontal lobes. And then if you open your fingers, open the four fingers to reveal your thumb, that was what we're going to call your amygdala. And then your wrist will be your brain stem.
Okay.
So it's really important to know kind of what these things do. Your frontal lobes are kind of your higher order thinking. It's your upstairs brain. Mm-hmm. Your thumb, your amygdala, would be your kind of your bottom story or your downstairs brain. Mm-hmm. Upstairs brain is responsible for all the good thinking, good judgment, logic,
planning,
reasoning,
empathy,
like all the good things that we want our spouse to have.
The human part of our brain.
Right. Yeah. So those are all the good things. So now when we open our hand and expose the amygdala, and the amygdala is kind of the smoke detector. So it's the thing that determines if there is danger. Mm-hmm. So if this is triggered, if we start sending our brain we're seeing an external stimuli, like a tiger, a Bengal tiger. We go, oh my goodness, that's scary. So our amygdala says, okay, let's go ahead and fire. And that puts us into fight or flight, mm-hmm. which is our brain stem. It kind of hijacks our brain and puts us into, we're going to have to fight this, or we're going to have to run really fast, or faster than the person running with us.
Yeah. And so when you go into fight or flight, this prefrontal cortex, the part where your knuckles are facing forward, this upstairs brain, the very human part of our brain, mm-hmm. it flips, right? In essence, it flips. The amygdala is revealed. And the amygdala is now that smoke detector that's controlling what the brain does. And we go into brainstem from the amygdala. We're completely downstairs at that point. Mm-hmm. It's like as if you were holding onto a cliff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Say you're holding onto a cliff or you're rock climbing. Some of you may have rock climbed before and you use your fingers quite a bit, right? To really keep you steady and keep you, really keep you up. And so it's like you're there, you're thinking, you're planning your next step on where you're going to go on this cliff or this mountainside or this indoor rock climbing wall. And then that Bengal tiger comes in the room or comes up near you. And all of a sudden you go into fight or flight, that prefrontal cortex turns off and that lid is flipped. So, you know, if you're watching on YouTube, you see us flipping the lid here, you know, the fingers go up, that amygdala is revealed. What's going to happen if you're hanging onto a cliff or on that rock wall? You're going to fall, right? Because you lose that ability to have sound judgment and reasoning and planning skills. And you're just going to run from that bear. You're going to run from that tiger. Or in the case of a relationship threat, it actually, our brain registers it very similarly, whether it's emotional pain or physical threat pain, your brain just sees it the same way. And actually it's a fear response. Mm-hmm. Typically what's underneath anger is fear. Now there can be other emotions. There are some other primary emotions underneath anger, but anger itself is a secondary emotion. We don't get angry right away. Usually we're fearful first. We're fearful that we're going to be alone. We're fearful that we're going to be taken advantage of. We're fearful that our values won't align and we won't have a good outcome here. Or we won't make memories. Mm. We're fearful that, you know, the list goes on and on. So really, if you're dealing with some anger, evaluate what's the primary emotion. Right. And again, at monthly live date night on Friday, when we talk about the angry brain and how to repair from that, we will talk, we'll have you actually identify, we'll have a list of all the primary emotions that that kind of flow into anger.
Yeah.
For you to really identify your own cycle there.
Yeah, the Bible says that he's not given us a spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that that's not the state we want to be in. And we know that fear, while, you know, fear is another emotion that tells us things.
Right.
But with anger, generally fear is, like Chris has said, underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And we could start really getting into that. And that is a whole nother video. That's a whole nother, you know, point where we do a lot of work is, mm-hmm. you know, helping us understand, because a lot of our fears really can be reframed. Mm-hmm. We could see them differently. We can see what we're fearing as an opportunity for growth. We could, you know, yep. like we could reframe so many of our fears
mm-hmm.
to make them more positive. But that takes us stopping and identifying what's really happening. So let's say someone has a lot of anger. It's good to stop and name it. Like, I'm feeling a lot of anger.
Mm-hmm.
That actually gives you a little bit of control,
right?
Which is very helpful when we're feeling anger, because really anger is trying to take control, getting big,
mm-hmm.
getting loud, and taking back the control that you didn't feel you had.
Mm-hmm. So this is like four mini steps to help you work through anger in a healthy way. So the first step, as Adam said, is to name it, right? That's identifying the emotion. We actually do this with our kids. So Forrest, he's 2 years old, and he actually is on this kick right now where when he's angry, and usually it's because, you know, Adeline took his toy or we said no about something, you know, and he needs to be respectful, but he's allowed to express that he's angry about that. And if there are other emotions there, we try to help him identify, like, well, I think you're disappointed, but here's what he does. He walks up to us if Addie took something or whatever, and he'll be like, I'm angry. And he'll he'll put his arms in and no one like taught him that exact way of expressing, but he has heard us help him identify that emotion, and it's healthy. Mm-hmm. It's okay to express that you're angry. And so actually we'll say, and now Adeline will tell him too, it's okay, Forrest, you can be angry. Just don't be disrespectful. We're like, good job, Adeline. So it's okay. Give your kids permission to be angry. Just don't be disrespectful or destructive. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't be angry and go kick someone's toys over, mm-hmm. You know, or be violent. But you can say, I'm angry, and you might need a breather. You might need some space.
Right. Actually, what's really, really helpful is to identify what in your body is happening when you feel anger.
Mm-hmm.
I feel anger first in my stomach, actually.
Yeah.
And I start feeling myself getting very impatient. I'm just like, you know, everything, nothing is right. And so that for me is my trigger to say, oh, I'm becoming angry.
Yeah.
That helps me name it. That helps me kind of put me into the state of doing something now about it.
Because
mm-hmm. what you don't want to do is, as remember how we said, at that point when I'm naming it, I still have my frontal lobes working.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that my, you know, I'm on that cliff right now and I'm shaking with the exertion of staying you know, mm-hmm. in my right frame of mind. Because once my lid flips, I go from a semi-rational human being to in about 2 seconds to 3 seconds to absolutely losing it. Like, I'm not raging, but what I'm saying is I'm not thinking as clearly as I was before.
And for
some people do.
Yeah, for some people that looks like shutting down, which mm-hmm. is kind of what you would tend to do if you're
yes.
if you flip your lid, you kind of just shut down.
Because so that's my retreat. That's my flight response.
Right.
I'm not going to fight my wife, so I want to protect her and the family. So I go internal. I go deep.
Yeah. And actually a lot of men do that.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. So that's step one is to name it. The second step is to reframe it. And that's simply telling yourself, I'm not in danger. Because your brain thinks you're in danger, right? And so you just have to tell yourself, I can't process it all right now because, you know, I'm not fully in my prefrontal cortex, but I know I'm not in danger. And so I'm just going to pause. Step three, relax, calm down, take a walk, take a breather, make sure that you have a time to come back to it. But take that breather. And we'll go into more detail on Friday about each of these steps.
Back to renaming it or reframing it. It's really helpful to sometimes, for instance, we live in California. There are crazy drivers here all over the place. So the helpful tool just that we use all the time is, you know, if somebody cuts you off, it's really quickly – you know, it builds anger in you quickly for a lot of people. Most people get it if they live here. So because I'm interpreting that as this person is being disrespectful.
Or a threat to your safety.
Or they're a threat, right? Yeah. Like, what are they doing? You know, it's really easy to kind of, you know, get big quick and just, you know, frustrated. So sometimes instead of seeing them as just a jerk, because that could be one way of seeing it, why don't we give them the benefit of the doubt? It's all about the story I'm creating in my head.
Right.
If I create the story in my head of this person's just an idiot, then I am going to be angry.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of the response that you could expect if someone is doing something like that, if they're an idiot. But it could be that this person, maybe they're driving their wife to the hospital and she's in the middle of labor right now. Right. And he's really trying to get quickly to the hospital.
Yeah.
So if that's true, then we like, oh, you know what? You go ahead. You know, like no problem at all. I get it.
Yeah.
So,
or even other things, like maybe they just got a really bad phone call, some news, and then they weren't as focused and they're on their way to work. And then they got this news about something sad or impending. Or
what if their brother is going through a bout of depression and he's really, really, really down. And he's trying to get to him. You know, there are a lot of scenarios that we could play out. That isn't, this guy's just a jerk.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So reframe that.
Reframing is such a helpful tool. And remember, you could just say, well, that's just mind games. No, it's just a mind game if you say that this person's a jerk too.
Yeah.
It's all in how we frame it.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have to frame it to put us at an emotional disadvantage.
Oh, that's a good way to say it. Yeah.
So do your best to keep maybe some of those stories that you could tell yourself to kind of cool yourself down, because those very well could be true.
So that's the first step, name it. Second step, reframe it. Third step, relax. And we'll give you lots of tools for how to relax and take that breather. The fourth step is really some cleanup work that you do relationally and in your own self. And this is the step that we'll mainly be diving into on Friday at Monthly Live Date Night. So we'd love for you to join us. And it's such a neat group, a community of couples that come together and help each other.
Yeah.
It's very collaborative. It's one Friday night a month. And this Friday, we happen to be talking about the angry brain.
And if you're listening to this afterward, you could always sign up and then go back and watch the replay of that. So we'll give a whole bunch of tools for in the moment, and some maybe even tools to kind of help you understand what's happening from the past and the triggers that are there because of what happened before.
Yeah.
So a lot of good stuff there. But one of the most powerful tools that you can do is simply going for a walk. Mm-hmm. When you name it, when you know you're angry, tell people that you're with, whoever you're with, say, look, I'm feeling really angry. I'm feeling just a little bit, you know, heated right now.
I'm flooded.
I need some time. Can we please come back to this in about, you know, 40 minutes or 30 minutes, probably not under anything under 30 minutes. Can we please come back to this, or can we talk about this again in about 30 minutes? Mm-hmm. But I need some time, and then go for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it bilaterally stimulates your brain and helps you de-escalate quicker and more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this gives you guys some things to think about with anger. This is a very common emotion. Don't beat yourself up. Because I'll just make you more angry.
Yeah, exactly.
And hopefully we'll see you at the next Monthly Live Date Night.
Yes, you can look at the link in the show notes. If you're watching on YouTube, it's in the description, and it's $10 a month. We would love to have you be part of the community. From what we hear, it is totally worth it. And you also get access to all the prior date nights, and we've covered lots of topics.
Yeah, we have.
I mean, we've talked about everything from writing your marriage mission statement, your recipe for a great sex life, to all sorts of things. I mean, just go check it out. There's a list of over a dozen topics that we've covered so far in the last year.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So hope to see you there.
All right. Take care.
You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.